be more like him every day in our lives. Father, we thank you for the church. We thank you for the congregation that meets here at this place. We ask you to bless us, help us to do your work as you'd have us to do here. Thank you for making us able and to help those that are around about us, for the orphans and those that have not heard your word. Father, we're grateful that you blessed us, and it's only through you that we can help them. Thank you, Father, for the country in which we live. We're thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy. We're thankful for the leaders that we have that are working to do good. And, Father, we pray for them, and we have ask you, Father, to help them, make them strong. Help us, Father, to go back to the rules that were set forth by you and the authors of our democracy here. Look to them for help and for guidance, and use them and help us, Father, to get back to that way. We pray for our leaders that they will look to you for guidance and for help, not demand wisdom. Father, we thank you so much for the military that takes care of us. We pray for them, Father. They're scattered throughout the world, and we pray for their safety. We pray for their families that are left here with us, and we pray you comfort them and help them, Father, and may we do our part the best we can. For the policemen, doctors and nurses, first responders, Father, we say a special prayer for them in the time that they're going through at this time. Amen. For the harm that the policemen are shown, Father, we pray that it can be overcome. Father, we see Satan at his work on every corner, and we see so many people approving it, and Father, we pray for them that they'll come to the realization of what they're really doing. Thank you for the doctors and nurses that go to work every day and tend to our illnesses and take the risks that they do, and Father, we ask you to watch over them and keep them safe. Help us now, Father, as we go through this worship service. Help us to concentrate on the things that we do, and Father, help us to worship you and think about you and your Son and everything that it means. Help us to sing the songs that not only help each other to encourage each other, but Father, to praise you. In our lives, Father, we realize that there are times that we fail you, that we sin in our lives. And Father, we ask you to help us to overcome our weaknesses. Help us to be stronger every day and better in our lives. And Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Again, Father, we thank you so much for loving us and for looking over us and for caring for us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Let's open our song books this morning to number 192. 192. Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me, so weak and sinful. Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise Thee and love Thee evermore? O Savior, precious Savior, my heart is at Thy feet. I bless Thee and I love Thee, and Thee I long to meet. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise Thee and love Thee evermore? I'll be with Thee forever and never grieve Thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise Thee and love Thee evermore. O Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise Thee and love Thee evermore?
Number 345.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deep which came within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me and saved.
Souls in danger, look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, builds His will away. He is your Savior, wants to be saved today.
Preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 51. 51.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside. With
Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather around this table this day to remember your Son that died upon the cross for us, that suffered on that cross and gave his blood so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins and the hope to be with you in the eternity. As we partake of this loaf, Father, which represents the body that hung on that cross, help us, Father, partake of it being in a manner to be pleasing to thee in remembrance of his death on that cross. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue our thanks, our Heavenly Father, for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents that blood that was shed upon that cross. Again, Father, we pray that we'll partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. These things we ask in Christ's name. Sometimes we take it lightly after the Lord's Supper without giving. But it's most important, not just for us here, but for those even throughout the world that we try to help. So let's not take it lightly that our giving is not well received by the Lord, because he takes it serious too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bring our gift here this day to give back unto you for the work that's done here at this place. And Father, as we give, may we give with a cheerful heart, knowing that it goes for the good of mankind, even throughout the world. Father, we thank you so much for giving us the ability to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have 17 present this morning. Today is August 9th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would, at this time, let's mark our song books at number 706. 706. And once you've got that marked, let's turn to number 157. 157.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whatever
being present with us today. We sincerely appreciate your coming when you feel well, and that you can be a part of this and be safe in our spacing as well as our talk with one another. Appreciate so very much your presence. Brethren, we talk about God and how to live life from day to day. The lifestyle that we live must be pleasing in the sight of God rather than man. When Peter got through with his conversation with the Sanhedrin council in Acts chapter 5, and they told him to go his way and not to speak anymore in Jerusalem of this name of Jesus, Peter says, it's right to obey God rather than man. Acts 5 and verse 29. We must obey God rather than man when there is a conflict between the laws of mankind and the teaching of God's will. It's only right to do what God has said to do. But at other times in the world in which we live, we find out that there are laws that are made by man. And man-made laws are for safety and for time-consuming or factual situations. David wrote about that in Psalm 35. When he said, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand for mine help. Draw also out the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause they have hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he has hid catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. You'll note that David is talking about things that are happening in the day-to-day activities of his kingship in life. And as he does this, he talks about those who are enemies to him and resisting his right way, and asking God to come and intervene somehow in making changes in the lives of those. Even those who plan and plot against him, let the plots that they have made for him be plots that come against them as well. And quickly that is done, that they may be ashamed of how they have talked about him and acted about him, and how they have sought to hurt him and hurt his way. The scripture talks about this sort of thing, about the ways that we live life from day to day. And as we live in the world in which we live, there are things that happen, like this pandemic thing, for example. There are certain rules that come up from those who are in authority and those who recognize the authority in such a way as to say, we need to be people who honor that and who faithfully follow what they say and note what they say, because they believe that this is a great help until we know differently and better. We're not to be people who just simply oppose that because they're in authority and say what they say about the rules that they set forth. In Romans chapter 13, Paul writes the following about this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And I stopped to ask, which higher powers? In that day and time, the Roman higher powers were there, but also the governor of the province was there. And it would be the tax collector who would be the publican who would be there. And all around them, their own people would be a part of this terrific charge over them. Which one of the powers be subject to? He says, all powers that. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that be or ordained of God. Here's a person who is a mayor of a city, and his power that he has is derived ultimately from his God in heaven, the powers that he has. And he's to be a person who rewards those who do good, he goes on to say, and punish those who do evil. Notice what he says in verse 2 of Romans 13. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. There are things that are against society in general. To tell the truth and to be factual about it is helpful in society and ways of life. But there are those who tell falsehoods and who illustrate falsehoods. That's why when someone comes to the kingship or authority figure in a community and does not behave according to the rules of life that are for life and for life-giving principles, it's a shame because that affects all the people that are involved under his control. There are those who, like David said back there in Psalm 35, resist them, Lord, bring this spear against them. Help them to be confounded or ashamed of their ways toward me because what they're practicing is a way that is not good, a way that's not helpful, a way that is not life-giving. It is life-taking. When we find ourselves involved in governmental things, we're in a republic form of government. Our founding fathers that came to this particular country found themselves resisting the powers that were because of the penalties and punishments that they had for doing what they knew was right and good because they were opposed by these who wanted to do that. Thus they came to this republic and formed this particular kind of government so that all citizens had the right of vote and had the right to call upon their leaders to be serving them in this charge. Now, when we find ourselves having more people that vote for someone who is evil and practicing evil and will support which is evil, it's a sad thing for us all. But we still have that right to vote. We have that right within our republic to go and vote to some other candidate who is less like that individual that is being voted in by the torrents of people who want that particular person to serve because they have ulterior motives in mind. And their ulterior motives is to serve self and to be selfless instead of serving the way things of God and life-giving principles and helpful principles in life. They are against that particular thing. And they find themselves voting for someone who is not of the frame of mind to have people do good. He goes on to say in verse number 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. It is the matter that our own personal conscience is involved in what we would object to. We would oppose that way of life. And here's a person who's in authority. Let's say that person is a patrolman, a highway patrolman. He's out here on the roads to guide and direct people into following the way that the speed limit sets forth. The speed limit may not be according to your conscience lake and your conscience sake, but because there's wrath that will be created and there are penalties that will come to you and me, he says we're to obey those. We're to follow those. We're to follow those who are ministers of God. Look at verses 4 and 5 together. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Personal conscience comes along the way, and I want to be as safe as I can be. It may very well be that what happens on the road is misunderstood. We may misunderstand why that particular speed limit is there for that purpose. School may be close by, children may be out in the street, things of that nature may be there. And certain damage and harm will be done quickly if the speed is quickly done. I remember an old story that is a humorous story about a lady who was driving up in the mountains in West Virginia. She found herself driving along in that way, and she was doing what she was doing, and she saw that there was something up ahead in the road, and it was a herd of, or a group of hogs that were being pushed across the road, driven across the road. She had to slow down a great deal, and she did, and she successfully followed up with the farmer who was pushing those hogs across the road. When she was going on up the hillside, she saw a man in an automobile coming down the hillside. Knowing that it was around the curve and he wouldn't be there soon enough to see the hogs that were there, she rolled down her window and shouted, "Road hog! Road hog!" He heard her say that, but he thought how terrible it was for somebody to call him a road hog when he was on his side of the road. And about that time, he ran into the herd of hogs that were there on the road. Well, she wasn't talking to him. She was talking about what he was fixing to face. But what we sometimes don't know about some speed limit that is set may very well be the endangerment to somebody who may be there. There are certain things about life that we find ourselves doing in which we follow God's will to obey that law of the land. As I mentioned once again early in this lesson, in Acts 5 and verse 29, we must obey God rather than man. In the sense of what is commanded there, don't go back in Jerusalem and don't carry the name of Jesus back there in Jerusalem. Don't disturb the people and cause them to be disrupted by this matter. Don't do that, whether it is fair to you to say what you say. We must obey God rather than man. And so it is in the case that some people have a way in which they'll follow a way of life that's against God. There's a way to come up and to speak in behalf of God. And as we do that, we're doing the right and righteous things of God. He continues on to say this in verse 7. Render therefore to all their custom their due. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. And honor to whom honor. Notice that he says in this regard, pay tribute, and that's the taxation that was there in the days of the Roman government. Now how could the Holy Spirit guide the apostle to write this in the book of Romans about the Roman government? There was a hideous form of leadership in the Roman government. A hideous form of taxation that was done. A hideous way. But he tells them not to violate this, lest they bear not the sword in vain, lest there's penalties and punishments that will come your way. Go with me now over to 1 Peter chapter 2 in reference to this same subject. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for the cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor to whom honor of all men, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God and honor the king. The statement made here of subjecting yourselves to the ordinances of man is true and accurate with what he's dealing with. He's dealing with those things that dealt with things that were not life-threatening. They were situations that were not life-threatening. They were to obey the laws of the land around them, the ordinances that were set forth. In those ordinances being set forth, there are some things along the way that we find that are not right and not good. Perhaps we're born into a slave situation. He goes on in 1 Peter 2 at 18 to say that following. Servants, or the word slave, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only for the good and gentle masters, but also for the froward, that is for the crooked masters. Notice that you're born into a situation of slavery. You have this situation of servanthood that is there. And to do the ones that's good and helpful to your life, it's a work of life and it's a day-to-day activity and it's the kind of thing that you do. But if you do that which is evil against them, he says the following, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffering wrongly. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. I want to stop there just a moment before we go on with verse 21 and following in 1 Peter chapter 2. In reference to the ordinances of man, he says to be obedient to the ordinances of man. Follow them and practice them. And if you find yourself in slavery in a servant capacity, there are a lot of our people that came to this country as indentured servants. They came here as farming people. They went on to the fields that were vast that they had, that they could make a lot of funds, a lot more than just that little small part that they had. And so it was sold out to them. It was loaned out to them, rented out to them. As a result of that, a lot of even our folks in this part of the country came to own property by way of coming first as servants, as they were indentured servants in this session. And they came to be people who worked that farm and worked that way. A portion of that was for them, but another portion was for the one who owned all of that property, who had bought all that property. And so this is the thing discussed here, the way of life to do, the way of life to behave with. And he's saying there in this is the example that Jesus himself did when he came to this earth. When Jesus came here as the Son of God, he came here to seek and save the lost. Luke 10 and verse 19. He came to seek and save the lost. But in process of doing that, he met up with those who were causing him to suffer. How did he react to the suffering that he faced? And how are we to react to the suffering times if it in fact is a greater penalty than we would think we should have? And that we should understand why is it that what we would do in fighting that and resisting that. We've noted already, this being a republic form of government, it is the case that we can vote and make a difference in regard to the people who are in charge over us. And sometimes there are those who are presidents in days gone by who set up on the Supreme Court that overrules these situations. And then the Supreme Court justices, they voted for someone who was very conservative and very thoughtful about the betterment of life for people. And they changed their minds as they went along in their servitude of their judgeships. Surprise to the one who appointed them. Surprise to all of us as we observed that that was going on. Knowing that that president was not of that mannerism, not of that way of life. Now some, we well know, are of that mannerism. They desire those changes to be made. And as a result, doing something that our Congress would set forth is something that they would oppose and they would object to, because it's an evil thing that they want to see done and carried out, believing that it's a better way of life to live for people than it is to live the life of honorableness and truthfulness and way of good. Jesus faced that situation. There wasn't much that he could do that would make a difference in their minds as to how they would live. And notice what Jesus really did in 1 Peter 2 at 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile or hypocrisy found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, revile not again. He didn't retaliate in that. When he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't reply a threatening set of words. But committed him self to God, to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Indeed, these people were being told that they could be reviled and not retaliate in words and mannerism. They could be threatened and not retaliate in threats. They could be people who committed themselves to the God of heaven, who judges all things righteously. You can't buy off God's judgment. You can't cry God's judgment to change. Oh Lord, please don't, please don't, please don't. It is the case that what God's word has said is righteous. The psalm that we passed by, Psalm 119, verse 172, back a couple of weeks ago. All thy commandments are righteousness. The teachings of God and commandments that God has given about how to honor those that are in authority around us are things that we should obey. God himself notes that. It is the case that we need to be people who recognize that as well. If we do those things that are right and good and we're punished anyway, if we die anyway, it's no greater death than Jesus himself died for doing what was right and doing what was good. And what happened to him? Well, his name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess Christ as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Hebrew writer tells us that Jesus did that, and he gave himself for us. In the authorities of mankind, there are things that we are to honor and do, and we're to be the kind of people that God would have us to be in a country in which we live. Thank you for your listening and study with us today. We wish you the best as you practice this way of life. It's something to be practiced. It's not something that you say suddenly, I got that and I'll be practicing that way of life. And it takes a thought and mannerisms of life to practice and to prayerfully go about the acceptance of these ways of life to follow. And as we do, instead of hating the law officer who's standing on the corner and teaching our children to hate and despise, we teach them to honor. He is the minister to thee for good. Who's the minister of? He's a minister of God to thee for good. And it's a shame when there are those who do not do the right thing and good thing in those positions of authority. And there are laws against them, and there are certain things they should not practice. What a blessing it is to have this kind of a republic form of government that we live under. We have ways of making changes. And along the way, we have statements to be made about God's will and God's way. We must obey God rather than man. Song of invitation provided today. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, the spiritual rules of the Lord are different than mankind. When mankind tells you to accept Jesus in your heart, pray these particular prayers for your salvation. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Later on in the Gentile world of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized and receive the Spirit the same as we at the beginning?" The Spirit of God came upon them so that Simon Peter would not withhold a single word of truth from him to obey. And he did obey it. Indeed, in Acts 11, verse 18, the brethren recognized that he did, and they said, God granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. He repented. He had faith in the Lord. He repented. He was baptized into the Lord. And when Paul writes in Romans 6 about that baptism into Christ, we're buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so are we raised to walk in newness of life. And you can do that today as we stand together and sing a word of encouragement to you. Would you come to Jesus?
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throne. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now?
Well, the Lord bless and keep you away from the virus and forms and ways that you follow, that we've been successful in doing, it seems, and I'm so glad for it. Look forward to seeing you tonight at 6 if we can, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Glad to be back in this way, and although the surgery's on Tuesday, I figure that I'll be out by Wednesday night, surely.
Let's turn to number 405.
Oh, thou every blessing to my heart to sing thy grace, sing thy mercy, never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills his heart with joy and love.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and pleased for this beautiful day of the new testament. Thank you. We ask you to guide, guard, direct us, and forgive us for